Trying to go into a preach after worship like that is doing an oral, trying to do an oral after that guy in class. It's not fair. But as Charles said, that God served us already, which is actually enough. But we want to be faithful, and I think how this morning was just set up from prayer and the words and even worship, even the songs, and as far as I know, I didn't speak to Lidolf about what I was going to preach about, as far as I know. But even if I did, I do believe God intently has set us up and made our hearts soft. And it's interesting how I prepared this sermon, and then this morning I was tested on this word, and God tested my heart, He tested my character, He tested my faith in what I was going to share this morning with waking up. And it will make sense now. So usually on a Sunday morning I try and wake up earlier than the house, just to find a quiet place, just to be a little bit on my own, to go through my notes if I'm preaching, but just to enjoy the quiet of the house before the day starts. Now, if you don't have little kids in your house, that might not make sense at this moment, and if your kids are grown up, you might have forgotten what it feels like, but there's this moment where the day starts. Yeah. And as a father in the house, I try and get up before that buzz. And this morning, the buzz woke me. Not the buzzer of my alarm, but the buzz of the house. My son called me before 5, and he asked me, he had a bad dream, can I please lay down with him? I said, yes, sure, I will. And as I was laying there about 10, 15 minutes later, my daughter came into the room. She was like, can I also get on the bed? I was like, yeah, sure. And I tried being in the middle of them, but it was just this side and that side. And half an hour later, needless to say, there was no sleeping involved there, no more sleeping. And I must say, I had high hopes of them falling asleep so that I can get up. But that didn't happen. And next moment I knew I was up and the day started, or the day has started already. And I didn't get to that moment of just sitting with the Lord. And it's not about reading Bible. It's not about praying. For me, it's just getting up in the quiet and just being and knowing that I'm with God. Because that's true. I didn't need to read my Bible to be with Him. I didn't need to pray to be with Him. He is with me until the end of the days. His word says that. It's not me. And as I was then going about the morning, I said, Lord, this is not how I wanted to go into the morning, into the preach, into coming to church. And He said, but I didn't want it to send my son to the cross. But I did, because I serve You. I was like, okay. So this morning, I want to serve my kids. And the title of the preach this morning is A Serving Servant. Because a servant that's not serving is not a servant. It's a stubborn servant. He's not a humble servant. And I realized that the Lord has put me in front of Him. Therefore, He has sent His Son to die on the cross for me. He didn't put me above Him. He didn't take away His authority. And the same way for me towards my children. I should be putting my children in front of me, because they have needs that I am able to fill. But it doesn't take away the authority. Now, we're not going to focus on the authority part this morning. We're going to focus on putting someone else in front of yourself. Being a serving servant. Being a servant that is active means that you take the low position. And this morning, as we bow down in this last song, taking the low position in front of our King. Because we need to realize that the Bible is very clear that we're in a kingdom of God. And although as people we don't really understand that concept anymore, it's still true. That concept is still true in the kingdom of God, that there is a ruler, that there is a king, and there are servants. Now there's only one king, and that's God. He is the king of his kingdom, and we are the servants. Now, I do want to clarify who is the we that I'm talking about this morning is, if you are a born-again believer, if you haven't given your life to the Lord, he doesn't expect you to serve him. Because he is a just God. He does not expect of someone who doesn't submit under him to serve him. Because he's loving like that. But Adams has submitted my life. I have submitted my life under the King. Therefore, there is an expectancy that I will serve him as a servant. And that means that I lay down my life, all aspects of my life, every single day, every single moment, in everything I do, even serving my children. Serving my wife, serving the church, standing here on a Sunday morning preaching, is serving. This is not a high place. Someone who stands in front of a church and think that it's a high place to take in is missing the mark. This is part of serving the bride of God, serving the King of Kings. There's a story of a Hungarian guy, John Lennox tells this story. And he met this Hungarian, and he was working as a maths teacher. And so immediately when I saw that, I related to this. I was like, yeah, must be a good guy. And this math teacher was also a Bible teacher in his free time, in his spare time. So he would teach at a school during the day. And then in his free time, he would do anything from a Bible study or minister at a church. But he would teach from the Bible. And then the government called him in and he said, you are a math teacher, right? And then they continued and said, and you teach the Bible. He said, yes, but I do that in my free time. I said, you can't do that. You need to choose. Either earn a salary, being a math teacher, or go and teach the Bible, which he wasn't earning a salary for. They didn't believe him when he said that he does that in his spare time. He went home and he brought his family together and he had a discussion with them. And that was so beautiful. When I was reading the story, I was like, wow. He had all the authority to make a call. But still, he brought his family close. He said, family, I've got a decision to make. Either I keep on being a math teacher, which I love doing, and I earn a salary. But if I want to keep on teaching the Bible or from the Bible, I'm saying no to that salary. We need to make a new plan. And one of his children stood up and said, Dad, I can't imagine you without teaching the Bible. And first I was like, oh Lord, may that be true for my kid one day. Has he come to learn who I am and how much I love the Lord? But then I went back to the story and this Hungarian guy went back to the government, or to the people, the government, and he said, I choose to teach the Bible. And I said, well, okay, then you're fired. You can't go back to your math teaching position. So he found another job at a quarry, carrying rocks day in and day out, earning peanuts. And his hands were, the story goes there, and he says that his hands were so full of marks that his wife had to bind up his hands so that his Bible doesn't get full of blood. That's part of the story as you read it. And then the policies changed at the quarry, and the boss, his boss, called him. He said, "Listen, I understand that you used to be a math teacher. They have changed our policies. I do not know maths, but I need to know maths now. Are you willing to teach me?" He said, "Yes, of course. Best of both worlds." And he started earning a salary bigger than his maths teaching salary. And it's not about the salary. That's a massive add-on. First seek the kingdom of God and the rest shall be added, because God looks after his people. So the salary was that God didn't even have to do that. But he chose to serve God, even if it meant losing his job. And I read that story and I was like, "Oh Lord, how easy is it for us to say, 'Yes, Lord, everything, Lord. Take my life, Lord. I'll pick up my cross. I'll follow you.'" Evan, you need to decide between your salary and loving Jesus, teaching from the Bible. "Lord, I don't know. This wasn't part of the deal, Lord. No, Lord, I can love you even in my job." But God asks you to lay down your life at his cross. So many of us have worked for a boss, or many of you might still be working for a boss. And even if you're your own boss, there's this component to work that's interesting. You don't always know what's going on, right? Or was that just me when I was a teacher? Like, even in the math department, even I was the head of the math department, or the mathematical literacy department, and the grade 8 and 9 math department. Even though I was the head of it, I didn't always know what was going on in both directions, because there were still people above me, the principal. I didn't know what was going on in the principal's office all the time. And the people, well, below me, the other teachers, I didn't know what was going on in their classes all the time. But I trusted that the calls that the principal will make will be of benefit. And I trusted that as the teachers stood up in their classes, they will make sure that the correct work is being done in their classes. So even in the position I had, I had a little bit of faith there, if I can use the word faith there. Not in the same way as we use it towards God. I trusted that good will come from it, whatever the it may be in your life. Even if that it is your paycheck. Because that's a good thing, right? Paychecks are good things. We need that. Well, at least I do. So this morning, when we serve, when we come under the King of Kings, I put my trust completely in God. I say, "Lord, even though I don't know of everything, I don't know all the scriptures in the Bible, I don't know all the theology, I don't know all the songs that we sing every Sunday, I don't know all the people around me, I don't know what's going on in everyone's lives, I don't know how I'm going to get through this situation. I don't know how I'm going to get through this month or this week. Lord, I don't know how I can deal with this trauma that happened in my life. Lord, I don't know. But I choose to take this position and say, 'Lord, you know. You know. And I surrender my life to you. as your servant. And as you ask and as you speak to me, I choose to obey you because you are the King of my life and you are the King of your kingdom, knowing that nothing that I can do in my own will be beneficial for His kingdom. Only what I do in His will be beneficial for His kingdom. So I've got a few scriptures here just to highlight for us from the Bible that we are part of a kingdom. Because this is not Aaron's that was sitting at home just hoping to get something out of my thumb for Sunday. No, this is truth. And you might be a little bit, actually I do hope that you get caught up in this two truths this morning. I hope I use the correct English word here, the paradox of God the loving Father, but also God the King who rules and is sovereign. And actually He asks things of us. So Matthew 6 verse 33. Where else to begin than Matthew 6 verse 33? But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. His kingdom. Not your kingdom. Not your workplace kingdom. His kingdom. John 18 verse 36. This is where Jesus speaks. And He says, My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants, that's me, Lord, would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jews. But now my kingdom is from another place. Jesus speaking of His kingdom. In Matthew 6, Jesus teaches us to pray. Even in our prayer lives. Verse 10 there, Matthew 6 verse 10. May your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Making sure that we know that His kingdom is not the same one as we have and as we see here on earth. It is different. Because the kingdom here on earth is, I am the ruler. I am the authority of my own life. And I will make the decisions and choices. And yet I don't really care how it influences those around me. That's the kingdom of the world. But the kingdom of God, as a servant, I lay down my life. And I say, Lord, let your will be done. So that's the kingdom, that's a few verses to give us the truth that we are part of a kingdom. But then there's the other part of that same truth is that we are the servants. So again, it's not Aaron's decision that I made one day, Lord, you're my king and I only want to serve you. This is something that I realized as I read the Bible. And as I started serving Him, He started revealing Himself more to me. Serving, verb, doing word, werkwoord, doen dit, nie net sien dit nie. You can't just be a servant. You should do it. You should serve actively. Because if you are just sitting there being a servant, it's not going to end well. You're going to miss out. You're not going to understand. You're not going to understand why people are jumping up and down while we are worshiping, because that's serving. You're not going to understand why people bow down in worship. You're not going to understand why people start screaming passionately in worship, saying, Jesus, you are King. Because you're not doing servant. You're not a serving servant. There are enough passive servants out there. Lukewarm Christians. Pew warmers. Call them whatever you want. Just please don't be one. At least then set the example for those around you of what it means to be an active servant. What it means to lay down your life. to serve His bride, to serve His kingdom. Don't do it for the church. Please don't do it for me. Don't do it for recognition. Do it for God. Realize that He is the one. Shaw explained it so beautiful. And He has explained this story to me. While we are jogging, He goes, Jesus took a step. He said, I love you. And we both started crying while we're jogging. Explaining to me how God has cut to His heart. Explaining the love that He has for us. While He was carrying that cross on His back. So scriptures, Matthew 23 verse 11. The greatest among you will be your servant. Jesus. Jesus has always been the greatest. Jesus will always be the greatest. And He came to serve us. I want to read Philippians 2 verse 2 up until verse 7. And there's so much caught into this scripture. I'm not going to even try and unpack all of this. But if you are making notes or not making notes, send yourself a message. Send this scripture to yourself. And through this week, community leaders, can I ask you guys that this week in communities, this is what we're looking at. Philippians 2 verse 2 to 7. Make a note. Thanks. Let's read it. It says, then make my joy complete by me being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourself. Each of you should look not only to your own interest, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Jesus Christ. And what was His attitude? Verse 6. Who, being in very nature God, not like God, not almost being God, He was in His very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but He made Himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, and being made in human likeness, laying down His life. Lord, we come before You this morning, and we lay down our lives. We say, Lord, You are Lord of lords, and You are Lord of our lives. We lay down our lives. You are King of kings, and we want to serve You. Oh, come and touch our hearts this morning, Lord. Come and shape our hearts, shape our thoughts. Let us be like-minded in the way that we serve You. In 2 Timothy 2 verse 24, it says, and the Lord's servant must not quarrel instead. He must be kind to everyone and able to teach and not not resentful. In Romans 1 verse 1, Paul writes this letter and he says, Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus. I think another one, if I remember correctly, John starts one of his letters, John, a servant of Jesus Christ. As Christians, we are called to be servants. So this morning, I hope that you are challenged into your heart. Are you serving the Lord? Are you a serving servant? Or are you calling yourself a servant of the Lord? So what do servants do? They listen to their king, and then they do what he asks of them. They listen and obey. As easy as that. Right? It's easy. Until you start listening. And then you want to obey. But Lord. No buts. Buts are not allowed if you're a servant. Because you laid down your life. Das nie 'n maar nie. Because he is king, he knows better than you. Church, if there's one thing that you take away from this morning, you can forget everything. Just remember, God knows better. He knows better than you. He knows better than your troubles. He knows better than your situation. He knows better than your past. He knows better than your future. He knows better than your spouse. Teenagers, he knows better than you as well. With much love to all our teenagers. So what have we been asked? What does the Bible ask us? What does the Lord ask us? Oh man, and please don't tune out because I'm not going to go through the whole list. Okay, go read your Bible and find out for yourself. Have quiet times with the Lord to find out what He is asking of you. My work is not to tell you what the Lord is asking you to do. What I'm trying to do this morning is lay a foundation for you to know that you're a servant, and that means your place is this. Lo, your place is listen. So go home and listen. Right. I'm going to give you a place to start. If you're not sure where to start, and even if you are listening already to the Lord, maybe go back to some of these basics. Lay down our lives for one another. In 1 John 3 verse 16. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. And then I'm just going to refer back to Philippians 2, verse 2 up until 7. Lay down your life for those around you. And as a Christian, you choose to put other people before you. That's one of the things God asks you to do. Not the church. God asks that of you. Think of how will someone else feel when you do something or say something. That's putting someone else before you. Think of how that would make them feel. And God is not a God wanting your emotions, but God does ask you to put other people in front of you or before you to honor others. What would they like? Are you doing just what you like? Married people? Are you only doing what you like? And for those who are not married, it includes everyone. When you are going out with friends, are you only doing what you enjoy? Are you always making the plans? That's not putting someone else in front of you. That's walking in front and pulling other people along. I had a t-shirt. Shocking. I have confessed, okay? So this is not me confessing. This is me sharing. It's a shocking. Now looking back, I realized why Lisa didn't like the t-shirt. And we were still just dating back then. We were still students. And she always said to me, why do you have that t-shirt? And I said, but this is just my life. This is who I am. Now looking back, I go like, yeah, that was selfish. That t-shirt was selfish. The caption on that t-shirt was selfish. It said, you're entitled to your own wrong opinion. That was the caption on the t-shirt. It's terrible. It's absolutely terrible. That was not putting other people before. That was not even putting God before me. Because, anyway, I'm not going to try and explain it too much. If you've got questions, come ask me afterwards. I don't have that t-shirt, by the way, anymore. Just No, it's not. No, I don't know where it went because I think Lisa got rid of it for me. To be honest, when we got married, because I haven't seen it in years. So that's the first thing. Lay down your life for others. Then this one. Deny yourself and pick up your cross. We read this in Scripture. Mark 8 verse 34 says, this is Jesus speaking. So guys, ladies and gentlemen, this is it. Then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples, and he said, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. What does that mean for us as Christians, and how is that serving the Lord? Well, if I'm laying down my life and I'm picking up the cross, it means that I will count the cost of what does it mean to follow him. What is the cost? It's everything. It's everything. Everything that you can think of right now, that's not enough. There's no money value here, guys. It's everything. House, money in your bank, your job, your career. Yo, we've got some doctors here. Huh? Studying 7 years, 8 years with all of your... And then the Lord goes, will you lay it down for me? I'm not saying he's asking that right now. That's picking up your cross. Those of you with your own businesses, quite a few of you guys, God says, will you lay it down? I want more time with you. But to have that more time, you need to lay it down. Oh, and then this was one that I'm sure many of us can correlate with. Lay down your friends. Count the cost. What will it cost me if I keep clinging to these friends? It will cost you your life. You will not... No, sorry, I can't say that. That's for God to judge. But there's a big possibility that you will miss the mark if you cling to those friends. But then, what? What is the reward if I have paid the price of those friends? Must I explain those friends? Is everyone with me? Bad influences, okay? Peer pressure into doing things that you're not supposed to or that God asks you not to do. Don't do drugs. Don't sleep around. Don't use foul language. Okay, should I explain it more? You're all good? Versus, I've paid the price of laying down those friends, saying, Lord, I know they're not good for my walk with you, for my relationship with you. I lay them down. I pay the price. Oh, guys, that's a cheap price to pay. Because the return is a family of people around you who loves you and supports you and are there for you, not just in the good times. And this is an open invitation. Next weekend, there'll be a time to share testimonies. I thought of just asking a few people, but this is an open invitation to us as a church. Can you go and think this week of, in the last 6 weeks, 6 months, don't go back 20 years, don't go back 10 years, don't even go back a year. How was your life impacted? Thanks. How did your life change, a decision change in your life in the last bit through discipleship? Because that's what discipleship is people around you who have also paid the price, counted the cost and paid the price, and said, Lord, I'm leaving all of those things behind. People who are carrying their crosses with you. Let me know if you think of of a testimony throughout the week, and we'll love to hear those testimonies next week. So count the cost to carry your cross after Jesus. Count the cost. And if you've paid the price, He's going to ask you to count again. And then you say, Lord, I'll pay it again and again and again. And then the third point, I'm not going to hang here too much. We'll look into this point more next week. Make disciples. If you are serving the Lord as a king, you have caught something. There is something on your life. You have something that some people do not have. You have a king that loves you. You have a king who looks after you. Not just reign over you, not just lords everything over you, but a loving king. And there are many people out there who doesn't have that. Many people who misses out on that. They need to hear the good news. They need to hear the gospel. They need to see God, who He really is. And you have the opportunity, each one of us, have the opportunity to show someone in your life to Jesus. I'm telling you now, there is someone in your life that doesn't know Jesus. If you don't have someone like that, thank God and then go find someone. Okay. We all know of someone who doesn't know Him. Because as a disciple, you have the Holy Spirit. You are able to give the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit isn't yours to give in any way, but you have the ability to pray with someone. Please, there's no certain sinner's prayer, right? You can't do a sinner's prayer with someone and lead them further away from Jesus. You can just show them to Jesus. If you want to speak to someone, speak to your comm leaders afterwards. So lay down your life for one another. Deny yourself and take up your cross. Make disciples. Just 3 points of something that God asks you to do. And why? Why do I do that? Why do many of the guys around me that I walk closely with, that I know, that I spend much time with, why do they do it? Well, I believe Matthew 25, verse 21, gives us a little bit of insight to this answer. It's not the whole answer, but it gives us an insight. His master replied, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things, and I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. One day when I come to heaven's gates, I hope and trust and pray that Jesus, God, the angels, whoever is standing there, will say to me, 'Well done, my good and faithful servant.'" I'm not doing it for men. I'm not doing it for this. I'm not doing it for just Jen. I'm not doing it for 412. I'm doing it for Christ. Audience of one, as they say. That's why I do it. That's why I worship the way I worship. That's why I pray the way I pray. Let's close our eyes. Lord, You are our King. We come to You as Your servants this morning, taking a low position, bowing the knee, saying, "Lord, here's my life. Take it. Take it all. Every single day. Every single moment." And we repent. And we say sorry. Sorry to our King for the moments where we have picked up our lives and thought that we knew better. Because we don't know. We don't know better. You are the King who rules. You are the King who rule and reign over this world, over our lives. And you know what is best for our lives. In the silence, take a moment. Just lay down in front of God's feet.